welcome to Show Me Your Mic, the podcast that talks about podcasting with podcasters who podcast about podcasts. This keeps going forever. You can find it online at goodstuff.fm/SMYM or on Twitter at SMYM_FM. My name is Chris Enns. I'll be your host. And for this episode, I've got
Fredrik Björman
of Codsnack, a podcast based in Sweden that talks tech, development, and code. As with many of my non-North American guests, international guests, I'm as curious about podcasting in their country as I am about the gear and stuff they happen to use. So Fredrik and I talk about the state of podcasting in Sweden and kind of go from there. My thanks to Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode of Show Me Your Mic. More about them a little later on. Now I enjoy the show. Thanks.
I don't know how to say it in English. No. Pronounce the like an O, and whatever you end up with is just fine. If you pronounce my name in Swedish, it's Fredrik Björman, but...
All right, I'll just copy and paste that.
That sounds great. Insert a little sound effect.
Yeah, I'll just put it to the soundboard, and then whenever I'm supposed to say your name, I'll just hit that, and then... I would pronounce... To me, it would look like... Björman or something like that, but
yeah, that's what people usually go for. The funny thing is that even in Sweden people can't figure out how to spell it all the time because it's a very uncommon name. It's only my family. We had one of the most common names in Sweden. I think my grandfather and his brothers, they switched to this name. So we're just a handful of people, so no one knows how to spell it.
Nice.
Kind of interesting.
All right. What else? Anything else? And I'm assuming Codsnack is a word. Is that a phrase or word? A Swedish word that?
It's a made up word. It's really easy to make compound words in Swedish. So it basically means code chat or code talk or something like that.
Okay. So it's nothing to do with fish. No. English cod is
not usually anyway. Right. You never know where we go next.
Yeah. No. Fair enough. Welcome to Show Me Your Mic. We'll just jump right in.
Thank you.
And this is another first. I like to point out firsts. I think this is the first podcaster from Sweden I've had on the show. There's getting to be more and more people now, and it goes far back that I might forget somebody, so I apologize, but I'm pretty sure this is my first call to Sweden. Skype or otherwise. So it's exciting to have you on the show. What's it's 10:30 morning here. What time is it for you right now?
It's 5:30 in the evening.
All right. So you just finished your work day?
Yeah, pretty much. It's gone totally dark.
So depressing. So depressing. Yeah, I know. That's winter for us here in Canada too. We start to see less and less of the sun. I would imagine you guys see even less than we do probably. I think you're a little further north. But.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit further, but I'm in southern half of Sweden anyway, so it's not too bad.
Right. All right. Well, that has nothing to do with podcasting, but it's interesting to find out about. Your podcast is called Codsnack, and I was joking, it has nothing to do with fishing, more to do with tech. And in the bio you sent me for the show, you said you aim to be a bit timeless. So not obviously, I guess, for folks, but most of the episodes, as far as I could find, are in Swedish. Sorry, and there's a few, you have English interviews with a few folks, it looks like, but... Primarily Swedish podcast, I would guess.
Yeah. From what so far, anyway. Mostly it's just the three of us in the main panel, so to speak. We started doing a bit more interviews as well. But usually it's us and we. That was sort of the idea from the start to do it in Swedish, because it feels like there isn't quite a podcast like that in Swedish before. But in English, we have quite a few to choose from, so...
Yeah, and that's the sort of the funny thing, I guess, over here in North America. It feels a bit like there's a million and one. Everybody's got a tech podcast, but I would imagine, it doesn't in your native tongue. It's always, that's what I found anyways, talking to people from Israel and all over the world and on the show is, there's certainly a lack, I would guess, of native speaking tech podcasts. And so it's
There are a few, but there's nothing as far as I could find that's sort of like ours. There are quite a few like Apple related or tech news related or gadget related, but not so much devoted to programming.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And you, that's what one thing you mentioned was aiming to be a bit timeless. And so it's not so much, like you said, not covering news and things like that, but more just discussions about tech, about code, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
And you started in 2012. Yep. And so how many, where are we up to? And I forgot to translate numbers.
we released episode 80.
Oh, 80. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
80 is 80. Yeah.
Yeah. It translates pretty well.
Good one. I'll blame my lack of coffee before I looked or something.
I know what
effect.
It's like. Feel your pain.
And so you have two co-hosts. And how did you guys sort of settle on doing this initially? What was sort of, where did it start?
It was one of the other guys, Tobias. He's been part of one of those Apple podcasts. I mentioned that there are others. It's a Mac and Apple News podcast he'd been doing with a couple of his friends for a while. And then Christopher, the third guy, is a common friend of ours. So it was Tobias who suggested, we should do some kind of tech podcast. And then I think Christopher suggested me be part of it as well. So we met up and talked about it and then ordered microphones and stuff.
Nice.
Started, yeah.
I just saw in the chat room here, Shroom Your Mic records live usually on Tuesday mornings. It doesn't always in Canadian time zone anyways. Tuesday mornings. And they just mentioned that you were on Better Know a Jackal, which is a podcast interviewing fans of podcasts. So I'll just put that in the show notes, which is just a interesting connection. The previous guest, Moises Chuyon, was just on that show as well. And
there's a trend here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to go pick up Mike Beasterfield's guests and have them on.
Like Burger King building right next to McDonald's.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Exactly. But that's cool. So there's an interesting little carryover there. So at any rate, you just did a couple of interviews on stage as well, if I'm not mistaken, or at a conference of some sort, right? Is that?
Yeah, that was really, really fun thing. We've been invited. This is the second time actually we were invited to a conference. We were also at a bit smaller conference about around the social aspects of the internet or how internet is affecting society last year. And but this one we attended this year is a pretty big developer conference in southern Sweden in Malmö. It's called Öredev or Öredev. It's a pretty large one for Sweden anyway, and they're really good at attracting like good speakers and stuff. So they invited us to come and interview people on stage, so we did, and it was a good time. Sure, when I improved my interviewing skills.
Was that your first time doing on like sort of in front of an audience kind of recording?
Yeah, it was really funny. When they contacted us, we were talking over email for a couple of months, and they said, we'll put together a little corner, with a couple of couches and microphones and recording equipment and stuff. So it'll be great. Yeah, sounds good to us, we thought, and, started booking interviews. And then the night before the conference opened, we were just walking through with one of the organizers, and he was showing us the area and people setting up everywhere. And then it was like, and over there is the main stage, and that's where you'll be doing your interviews. Oh, okay. That's a bit different, but it worked out pretty well.
So it was bigger than you thought, or is that
bigger
stage?
We were like right in the middle of the, exhibition area. but fortunately, right next to the stage was like the main resting area with, big bean bags and stuff. So people were sitting around relaxing. So it didn't feel like the whole world was watching you, but something approaching it.
Yeah. And they did, looks like they did video of it as well, which you have on your site. Codsnack.se / video. But did you guys have anything to do with the production of the video, or was that the conference that sort of put those together?
No, that was actually one of the other guys who shared the stage with Stephen Chin. He does a podcast on a site called Night Hacking, mostly about Java, I think. He just walked in 15 minutes after us, and he was like, I'll be setting up a bit of stuff as well. You can use it if you like, more or less. So he ended up handling all the recording stuff, and he did all the video and made sure the sound was okay and stuff. So we were just floating around feeling spoiled.
That's nice. Yeah, that's awesome to have that. Because I was going to say the video, it looks very professionally done, and
nice to have. He's done it quite a lot.
Yeah. And that's a theme, I think, another theme of discussing sort of with a previous guest of just, you know, taking the podcast sort of, so to speak, out of the basement or wherever you happen to record in and onto a stage and, you know, with an audience, and sort of either the complete fear of doing that or the fun of doing that and sort of the energy you get from a room that you obviously don't necessarily get when you're just staring at a wall or a window or whatever. Mm-hmm. And having these conversations. So is it something you would do again, given the opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I especially think want to do more, because we had several really good conversations between Christopher and the interview victim. And so I ended up just sitting back and listening quite a bit. So I'm feeling inspired to, you know, improve my level as well. I didn't feel like I did as much as I could have done. So I'm looking forward to doing more interviews, definitely. Mm-hmm. both live and on podcast.
And is that with your podcast right now, you've been primarily just the three of you, not so many interviews with?
Yeah, we have done a few interviews with a game developer a while ago. And the episode I just recorded on Sunday was an interview with a .NET developer. We get some criticism every now and then because none of us really know anything or use any Microsoft development stuff. So people just drop by and criticize that and drop out again. So do something about it.
Right. Put a token .NET developer in there for...
Yeah, yeah. He did a good job, I have to say, as well. I'm really excited about some of the stuff that's going on there.
So without getting too geeky, I guess, but what development environments are you guys primarily working in? Are you Apple focused, or what's the...
We're not working actually that much with Apple stuff. I think I'm the most Apple focused because at work we're all on Macs all the time. So we develop on Macs, but we don't do primarily Apple software. We basically do a cloud-based system at work, but we'll develop on Macs, and it's a bit of Java and other stuff as well. And Christopher works for SUSE Linux, the distribution. Mm. Or the company doing the Linux distribution. He works with like high availability clustering stuff. So he's pretty Linux based there.
Right.
And Tobias works with Plex, the media center solution. And he jumps a bit back and forth, I think. But mm-hmm. I think he mainly works with like the media server stuff.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Plex. Yeah. It's that sort of... What was kind of the Apple's front row replacement or replacement for that thing now has now, yeah, it's an interesting media platform. I remember looking into it years ago and haven't sort of looked back.
Yeah. It's fun when you listen to other podcasts. It's just mentioned every now and then. And I'm like, I know those people.
Is that this is not a Plex podcast, but is that a Swedish company that developed Plex?
No, it's American, but they're... Okay. Well, at least the founders are American. They're really spread out. Mm-hmm. So they have a couple of guys in Europe as well. I think Tobias is the only one in Sweden, but they have someone in Germany and probably some other countries.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess you mentioned ordering some mics and stuff. What kind of gear and things are you guys using to record? And is it something where, like, obviously I understand you have, you know, you'll have music shops and stuff there, but is going and buying podcasting gear a known thing in Swedish stores, or was it sort of more just ordering online the way?
We just ordered online, as we usually do. I actually don't know what it's like if you go into a store or audio store and ask for podcasting equipment. I have no idea.
I would think even over here you'd still get some weird looks. They might understand in general the idea, but and probably, you know, once you specified just microphones and stuff, but podcasting, they might think that's not what we sell. We sell guitars or something, but
go away.
Yeah.
No, but so we will order online, and we will have Rode podcasters, because that's what people were recommending at the time. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably, you know, 5x5 a few years back. I think they used to say that everyone was using the Rode podcaster, so we just went with that. It's worked really well for us.
You haven't had, I know Dan Benjamin does his podcasting guide, and he actually just recently stopped recommending the Rode.
Just because of physical
issues or whatever, connection issues and stuff, that build quality stuff. But you guys haven't noticed that?
No, not at all. And I mean, now I've actually carried it around a bit and like thrown it in bags and carried it with me. And it's held up really well. I managed to scratch the surface a little bit though, but I don't think I can blame them for that.
Well, maybe it's a more recent run or something, the last year or something, of builds that they've had issues with or something. But I'd never used one myself, but I often would recommend it to people when they were asking for gear or ideas of what to buy.
It's a nice starting mic, and that makes you feel very, very serious. When you pick it up and it's like huge and heavy, and you feel like you've got something for your money.
Yeah. Nice. And so the three of you use that. And do you get to record in person, or are you guys sort of remote from each other?
We're usually remote. We've done a few. That was one of the nice things about going to conferences. We actually recorded a few episodes just sitting in the hotel room. Like, you can see each other. It's kind of weird. We used to live pretty close to each other, but now we're a bit more spread out. So we usually record each in our own place. All the standard Skype triple ender, I guess, recording.
Yeah, so you Skype and you do record it. Each of you records your own end, and then somebody who's the editor, the lucky editor.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Nice. And so what do you use? Are you using for software these days to edit?
I'm just using Audacity. I did the GarageBand for a while, but it felt... I got annoyed at the waiting times when it was converting audio back and forth, and I didn't really use much in the way of features. So at some point I just switched to Audacity, and it felt, I don't know, a little bit lighter to handle, and I could always download it, and works pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I'm sure it has very little to do with sort of the GUI, the graphical interface that GarageBand adds, but for some reason it feels like a heavier, weighty app to use, and it is just kind of like a little bit sluggish, and maybe it is the GUI and my 2011 MacBook or whatever needs an upgrade. Yeah. But I can certainly identify with that idea, because although Audacity for me feels, there's something, it's like it's missing a little bit of a GUI to me.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a nice polished app like that. So
yeah,
I should probably I keep thinking I should really look into other software, and Christopher keeps recommending Reaper, but I just haven't taken the time to sit down and try it out. But it's probably a worthy investment of time.
Yeah, that's one that I know I've come across. Other previous guests have definitely recommended as one option that is worth looking into, and Hindenburg is the other one that.
I heard the name for the first time just the other week.
So oh yeah,
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it seems to be, this is probably like a very broad stereotype, but it seems to be, at least people I've talked to on this show, European folks, non-North American folks anyways, are into using, or are more aware of Reaper and Hindenburg as the two apps. Okay. And then North American folks tend to be more Logic I guess Pro Tools, maybe, if they're really higher up or whatever, more money. But So then you do the triple ender. Each of you sends your files to each other. Have you had much issues with drift and things like that when you're lining up at recordings?
Yeah, there's always a little bit of drift. I feel like sometimes something is going on with Skype that makes it worse. But it feels like for a long time we seem to have, if I put everything in sync in the beginning of the recording, and then somewhere in the first few minutes there would be a big jump for some reason, and then when I readjusted for that, after cursing for a bit, then things would mostly be fine for the rest of the show. We usually record around an hour, so I think if things do drift a bit if I switch on the sync track again, but nothing serious after like Skype stabilizes whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's odd how I know that's often when I think of like computers, it's like, well, it's just a zeros and ones. It should just be like we all hit record and then everything, we're just talking, so it should be able to.
Yeah,
just,
you'd think so.
Yeah. Nothing can be that simple with computers, I guess.
No. Especially Skype. I wish I understood computers.
Exactly. And do you do a lot of editing for content and things like that, or is it more like whatever happens outside of, a few flubs or whatever that might?
Yeah, mostly like little things like coughs and people starting to talk at the same time. But I try to do like one run through the whole thing. And I also create the long list of links for the show notes at the same time. But it's mostly like just like coughing and cutting out if there's any connection problems or stuff like that.
Right.
So I try to do as little as possible. I usually cut myself out as well, because that starts getting to me when I listen to it.
Yeah, it's probably just hearing yourself do it more than worrying about anybody else's sounds.
Yeah, it feels like when you're in a real conversation, it's good for the person talking to get some feedback. But when I listen to a recorded podcast, that stuff doesn't seem to be needed or as meaningful anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah. As I just do it to you. I'll try and edit that out. But yeah. And with your show, I was going to comment on the show art, which is kind of unique sort of little pixel.
Yeah, pixel that's art. Christopher.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which is just kind of a neat little representation of obviously the three of you. It looks to me like a curling rock, maybe you're standing around, but I'm assuming it's something different.
Yeah, I think it's a scene from I'm forgetting the movie name. Office Space, right?
Oh yeah, as soon as you were fumbling there, I was like, oh, I can now like Office Space when they're destroying the.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and he just whipped it up one day. It's amazing when people do stuff like that. It's like, oh, I did some new show art. It's good. I want it on a T-shirt now.
That's sweet. Do you find like obviously being in Swedish in language the your audience is obviously going to be primarily in Sweden. Have you gotten feedback from folks around the world kind of thing with that? Or does it tend to be fairly localized to your own country?
It's fairly localized. The guy I interviewed the other day is actually working in Australia now. So that's quite a long distance thing. I think he's listened to an episode or two as well. And sometimes people comment that they've listened from abroad, but it seems to be more people away on holiday and stuff like that.
Right. So yeah.
Pretty local. Yeah.
Yeah. And is the this is something I forget to ask some guests sometimes, but like I know in Canada here, when I look at iTunes, I just see the podcast listing service, and it's kind of somewhat localized. Like we still see the big name, you know, Serial or whatever, obviously is the big show right now, and those kind of shows are featured. But then there is a lot of Canadian content. Is it does iTunes do a decent enough job of sort of localizing some of the content in the podcast listing?
Yeah, I think so. It's quite a lot of Swedish stuff, and Swedish public radio system, they do quite a lot of podcasts and they show up there. And so everything you expect show up there, and quite a good selection of other stuff as well. So it seems to me like they do a good job.
Mm-hmm. And is podcasting as like in the press and news or whatever over there the same way? It's kind of like starting to, you know, over here we've been hearing about how podcasting is now finally coming back again or whatever. It's finally
Yeah, I've read that stuff as well.
Yeah.
I don't think the press is quite there just yet. I've seen a few little pieces of writing about some of the larger podcasts in Sweden. There are a few Swedish comedians doing a really popular podcast, and there's been a little bit of writing about their revenues or lack of revenues or little things like that. But I still think we're some way behind the US there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we're all trailing them in some weird way. But I think it's interesting not to, like, the Canadian press too isn't so fixated on the idea that now it's finally coming back or anything like that. We've had our podcasts that have run, and they're, like you said, local broadcaster or Canadian broadcasters that do podcasting fairly regularly, and it's just kind of, it is what it is. And you still get weird looks when I talk to people outside of sort of tech circles that talk to strangers on the internet and record the conversation.
There's always a little bit of that. Oh, a podcast. I've heard it. What is that like?
Yeah. Sort of. Definitely. So we'll get into some of podcasts and stuff you listen to in a minute, but like the sort of future or whatever for your show. Do you have plans for it, or is it kind of just you're going week? It's weekly, right?
It's been weekly almost all the time. It seems like some regularity is really, really good for you. Get back at it all the time. Mm-hmm. like I said, I really look forward to doing more interviews, and both live and on the regular show, so to speak. So that's probably something. And also maybe, yeah, we have sponsors every now and then. We're thinking about trying to be a bit more regular, put a little bit more work into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just...
And is that something where you've have you focused sort of, again, I hate to keep drawing the, you know, making it all about the fact that you're in Sweden as opposed to just, you know, international.
Yeah,
but
it's fine.
Yeah, because it's something I've struggled with too in terms of very local, like to my city, I could get, you know, maybe a sponsor for a podcast, but then the international audience obviously could care less about where you might buy nice clothes in Saskatoon, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
And similar, I guess, for Sweden. Like, do you, have you approach local businesses or tech folks, or kind of do the typical, you know, we could hit
we've actually been approached a couple of times, and maybe nice. That's a sign that podcasting is growing in Sweden, because we were contacted, was some kind of rush like early summer of this year, like a few different companies got in touch and you know, wanting to advertise job openings and stuff like that. And also the invitations to conferences, of course.
Mm-hmm.
One of them came this spring as well.
That's what I think. Yeah, the both those areas that you listed, conferences and job postings, I think. Although I guess I was going to say those two areas seem to be underutilized in terms of podcast advertising, and it's great that you're getting approached by that.
Yeah, and it's fun because the advertisers have got back to us as well, so we know that they actually found people and employed them after they got in touch after hearing our ads. So, mm-hmm. so we know it works too, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, especially in, like, again, you're not to say that I was about to insult my audience, but when you're like a tech code focused podcast, and if you're a company that does a lot of coding, you would think that the audience that listens to your podcast would be, you know, smart and interesting and be up on wanting to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
You know a bit about what to expect that way.
Yeah. Speaking of interesting tech, I just was happening to notice your site. Talk to me a bit about how your site, codsnack.se, is hosted and what are you using for even your media.
Oh, posting? Yeah. I should say we started the standard way there as well, when we started using Squarespace to host the site. And I think nowadays you can actually do whole podcast episode hosting on Squarespace as well. But mm-hmm. it didn't quite work when we tried the first few times. We started using Libsyn for hosting the actual MP3s and getting statistics and stuff. And we still use that, but it was really funny because that's the fun of being a podcast of three developers, I guess. I mostly mean the other two guys, but I, to a certain extent, we were getting a little bit annoyed at how Squarespace worked or didn't work for us. It felt a little bit too much like, you know, clicking around and pasting something there, and things were a little bit sluggish. And then one day, Christopher had a little outbreak of annoyance at how Squarespace worked while I was at work, like somewhere around noon, perhaps. And then he was grumbling a bit, and Tobias was chatting with him. And then when I got home in the evening, they had built this new system for hosting, creating and hosting and developing the site. So now we actually have the site on GitHub Pages. And we're using a static site generation engine called Hugo.
Hmm.
It's written in Go, all things. So it's really, really fast. And all the language nerds like Go. So, but the nice thing now is that we just check everything out through GitHub. And each episode is just a markdown file. And then we have a few properties at the top of the file, and one of them is if it's a draft or not. So when we're done with an episode, we change the draft flag to false and then just check it in, and then GitHub notices, and Hugo builds everything and pushes it to GitHub Pages. So it's a pretty nice workflow when you have three people who sometimes hack on the code or sometimes update.
Yeah, that's what I was noticing. I noticed the GitHub link, and then you can see the repository. Obviously, it's kept it public or whatever. And
and we actually got some requests or patches from listeners as well, which is really amazing.
Yeah, that's what's fun, I think. And that's, I know our CMS that we use for Good Stuff, it's a private thing that Tim's doing work on and stuff, but is, and because of licensing and stuff, he can't completely open source it. But we've had that kind of feedback too on stuff. And it's just kind of neat to me where in the past it would have been, you know, just kind of this thing that somebody else did and you just listen to the podcast. But, you know, nerds like to help and dig around and point out issues in a nice way sometimes or not so nice sometimes. But.
Yeah, exactly. People have been surprisingly nice, I have to say.
Well, that's good. And that's, which is so neat that you can, I can drill down through the repository and see the posting for each episode or whatever. I could, theoretically, I could submit an issue or I'm not GitHub savvy enough, but like, you know, a link for a show notes or something like that as a pull request or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
All the lingo, but that would be similar, I guess, but with a different language to something like, there's the other common one for GitHub pages that, why am I drawing a blank on it?
I don't remember either, but I'm pretty sure I would recognize the name.
Yeah, somebody I'm sure is listening and is banging their head against the table thinking I'm an idiot for not remembering the thingy that, anyway, the chat room's not helping me out, so. we'll go on from there and someone can post it later and I'll pretend like I just remembered it. So it just posts, and then what's nice about that is your hosting is taken care of by GitHub as well for the site. And then, like you said, you're using Libsyn. So probably on, I don't know, whatever, one of their $20 plans or something like that, that makes it.
Yeah, I think we have the cheapest.
Yeah. You can do the cheap plan and the stats add-on, and it's nice, dependable sort of hosting costs, and
it works really well
even when you get the big show me your mic bump from all the listeners going and checking it out.
It should stay up. Please stay up.
Exactly. But it's something that, you have to be a little bit geeky, I guess, but it is another avenue for hosting a podcast that people don't often think of. It's kind of viewed as a more developer nerd heavy focused.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not something I would have set up myself even if they hadn't gone that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
it'd be, I would, if there's any listeners out there, I haven't come across anything, but it'd be an interesting tutorial thing to write up or demo or whatever for somebody if you wanted to, how to host a podcast on GitHub pages. Because there's enough nerds doing it, but there'd be more folks who are slightly less nerdy who would love to do it, but would get stuck on how.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
You can, if you do that, ping me and I'll be happy to send a link out so folks talk about it on a future episode. I'm just going to take a short break to thank our sponsor for this episode, and then we'll be back to chat about some of the podcasts you listen to and see what stuff you've come across and where and how and why. But for this episode, I want to thank Campaign Monitor once again for sponsoring Show Me Your Mic. Campaign Monitor makes it super fun and easy and beautiful to make an email campaign in a hurry. I can send out our Good Stuff newsletter, which you can sign up for at goodstuff.fm/newsletter in 60 seconds or less to get the template going. And then, content obviously takes a little longer, just finding shows that are interesting to feature and things like that. But they do a great job of, in our case, making our show artwork sort of shine in the template, so that folks can very quickly scan the newsletter if they're looking for a particular show. And we've settled on a bit of a template that we're using sort of going forward, but being able to use Campaign Monitor to send stuff for specific people, specific purposes. We had a Good Stuff meetup here in Saskatoon a few weeks ago and used Campaign Monitor's targeted features to just send newsletters or reminders of the meetup to folks who had accepted or confirmed that they were going and things like that. And then also using the iOS app called Monitor to check out who had subscribed, who had unsubscribed, hopefully not too many, who got the email, who are sharing it, all that kind of stuff. Looks great on the iPhone 6 and iOS 8. You can check out Campaign Monitor's template builder called Canvas at campaignmonitor.com/canvas or canvas.cm and get started today with sending your own email newsletters. Our thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. All right. One thing before I forget is I need you to, your homework for this episode, Frederick, is to send me a photo of your gear recording setup. It's a new thing I've started to do, and we'll put it in the show notes so folks can check that out afterwards, which you can find at goodstuff.fm/smym/63. It's completely optional. There's no judgment from listeners as far as, you know, messy desk or not. It doesn't have to be the minimal, like just a microphone held on a block of ice or something. And I don't know.
no pressure.
Yeah, exactly. With the right light shining, you know, through spotlights.
It has to be exciting.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's no judgment.
Not from you.
And also, just I'll just throw a mention in here. If you'd like to be, if you're a listener and you'd like to be on a future episode of Show Me Your Mic, you can do what Frederick did and go to goodstuff.appointlet.com. And that's sort of the first line of attack, I guess, for booking an appearance on a future episode, booking now into 2015. And if the times don't work there, I kind of have a set time each week. But if those don't work for you, definitely email me, chris@goodstuff.fm, and we can probably work something out outside of that. It's just a sort of a starting point for that. So goodstuff.appointlet.com is where you can check that out. All right. So what are some of the podcasts that you listen to, Frederick?
We'll just start from the top. I'm looking at my Overcast list here.
Oh, there you go. That was the second question, is what app do you use to
listen to? Yeah, it's Overcast all the way right now. I used to use Instacast, and then I was curious about what Marco would create. So it was between upgrading Instacast and waiting for Overcast. So I just stuck around waiting. It works nicely for me. So, of course, Accidental Tech Podcast. I mean, Marco and lots of Syracuse, what can go wrong? And technology. I sort of think of myself as like the Casey Liss equivalent of our podcast. So.
Nice.
I mean, the other ones just, you know, you start saying something and then they go off for 20 minutes ranting about something. See the similarities.
There's worse things to be than the Casey Liss of Sweden.
It's, oh, yeah. Could be worse. That's one I really like. And of course, the talk show as well with John Gruber. I think that was the first podcast I started listening to as it came out, actually. The first incarnation of the talk show was probably the first one I started listening to. Late Middle Ages, I think. Something like that. And... scrolling too much. A more recent one is Analog, also with Casey Liss and Mike Hurley. I've started listening quite a bit to stuff on Relay FM, his network, and it's all nice. And, Clockwise with I forgot his name.
Oh, Jason Snell and Dan Moore.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't get... You can listen a lot to Jason Snell's voice. I think it's a good podcasting voice.
Yeah.
I listen to all the incomparable episodes that apply to something I have some vague idea of as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's a lot of content, I guess, for lack of a better word, to listen to there to keep up with. I just want to go back to Clockwise. I think that's an interesting idea that in the tech circles, some folks might look at it. I actually haven't listened to a lot of the episodes, but the premise of it anyways is four topics, 5 minutes each, and no more than 30 minutes per episode. Mm. And I think that's just a brilliant, simple way of doing your own spin on what otherwise is a very common sort of trope.
It works really well. It's so nice and short to listen to as well. You know, you don't go off on those rants, but on the other hand, you don't end up at 95 minutes every time either.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a really good format.
Mm-hmm. All right, sorry, I interrupted you. Incomparable, you'd mentioned last, or anything else?
Debug is one I really like. They make longer developer interviews, I guess I could say. And the really big thing about that one is that they have done a couple of really exhaustive interviews with ex-Apple employees.
Mm.
Which has been really fun because, you know, people don't usually talk about what it's like to work inside Apple. So they made I think they started with an interview with Don Melton, who was the guy leading the whole WebKit and Safari team for years. They did a long interview with him a year ago or something. And then they got hold of another guy, Nitin Ginatra, who was, among other things, head of like iOS app development or something like that, I think, for when the iPhone was new. And they talked to him for like 6 hours. So they started with a 3-episode thing on just that interview. And so that's the kind of thing they do. They do these really long interviews about with developers or tech-related stuff. Mm-hmm. They can go off anywhere. It's really, really interesting. Also for shorter tech stuff, if you're into Apple stuff, I listen to Edge Cases. And it's a two-person show. They talk. Yeah, it's usually Apple-related, but it's always shorter and more confined and kind of a bit more tech-related, not all those tangents to other things. And another one that's a bit different topic-wise is Econ Talk, which I was recommended by Christopher a long time ago, and he said that it has economy in the title, but it's always interesting stuff, and it is because it's the host has a very wide definition of what economy is about. Like all life decisions is economy, more or less. So they talk to like professors of economy and professors in different other stuff, and it sounds like it could be incredibly dry all through, but it really works, and I usually end up learning something, which is uncomfortable but nice. The Record is one that I hope is coming back. It's also an interview show. I think you might start to see a theme here, but it's a show that was made by two Apple developers, and they interviewed other developers about like their history of coding, how they got into development and stuff like that. So they say that they made one season, and they interviewed developers in their area in Seattle about what like Mac and the next development was like before the iPhone was released. So it's sort of some kind of history interview podcast. It was really interesting too.
Oh, right, that's Brent Simmons. That's Chris Parrish. I don't know, but yeah.
No, I didn't know him before either. Isometric is a nice show as well, I should mention. It's a gaming podcast with perhaps Gamergate famous Brianna Wu. And they say it's a podcast, a gaming podcast with a different perspective. So it's more from a female point of view, or a female gamer point of view. And don't let that put you off if you have some kind of reflex to think that that's not something for you. It is something for you. It's a good gaming podcast. And they don't shy away from difficult topics like Gamergate and misogyny and stuff like that. They discuss it, but they do it in a really good way. So you don't need to think that even the heaviest, darkest episodes are anything to shy away from. It's always a good listen, and they don't make it any darker than it has to be, even if it's a topic like that. So that's highly recommended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good. I have enjoyed. That's one. I'm not as deep into the gaming side of things, but definitely have sort of cherry picked certain episodes. I know when they've been featured, or you know, discussions of things like Gamergate.
Yeah,
like that. It's just
That's a good way to go. I used to be such a podcast completionist, but I'm trying to get over that.
Yeah, podcast zero or inbox zero, whatever. I think it's exactly. Interesting listening to some of those kind of episodes, whether you like a specific show overall, but just even as a podcaster, listening to how other folks handle a more touchy or difficult topic to possibly discuss. Because I'm often in the case of like, I don't even want to bring it up because I know I'm going to say something stupid, and we're recording this, and then it might look dumb or whatever, I might offend somebody and things like that. But yeah, the ability of folks to discuss things like that, whatever it can be, but
it's really interesting to hear. And that's also one thing I like about Accidental Tech Podcast, that they get into those things sometimes, and they always do a very good job of it. It's something we can all learn from, I think.
Definitely. Anything else that jumps out at you, or is that's a good list of
Yeah, I think I've covered the important stuff. I have lots of things in the list that's just a few episodes I've listened to. So
right.
but I think I've covered the important ones here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good list to check out. And like you said, you listen on Overcast these days and previously yes. Instacast. And do you use the web interface at all with Overcast, or is it primarily on your, are you iPhone or iPad?
I think I've used the web interface about twice. So it's usually on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Headphones on as soon as the alarm goes off in the morning.
Nice. Which it's an interesting idea that Marco and I know Pocket Cast, the folks behind Pocket Cast, have since sort of maybe because of that or had it in development as well. I'm not sure, but that idea of instead of a desktop client, they just do a web client, and it works really well. I've found anyways in Pocket
yeah,
Cast.
Yeah, yeah, surprisingly well.
Yeah, just makes for a seamless like the sort of syncing. Occasionally, there's a little hiccup, but. If my phone's in my pocket or wherever, it's upstairs or something like that, it's kind of nice just to be able to log into the web client and just continue with any of the podcasts I already have started.
Yeah, but I was surprised how well it worked the few times I used it. So it's definitely not because it's not good enough that I haven't used it. It's just the few times I think about it and don't have my phone nearby, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, where can folks find you, follow you? Stalk you from afar.
Stalk me, please don't. Okay. Yeah. No, so the podcast we've already mentioned, it's called Snack, KODSNACK.SE. And I conveniently use my hopeless family name for everything. So I'm at bjoreman.com and Bjoreman on Twitter as well. And we'll link it all so you don't have to remember the spelling.
Yeah, exactly. The which you'll be able to find goodstuff.fm/smym/63, like I said, episode 63 of this show. Thanks for coming on the show, Frederick, and thanks for pinging me and booking in, I guess, as it were, to come on to the show. It's great to talk to podcasters all around the world, and even if somebody I feel what's the word I'm trying to say? Not, I don't know if it's dumb or whatever, but when people of another language come on the show, or if primary language is not English, let's say, I'm the one who feels dumb not knowing more than one language. So don't feel like that has to be I know your English is amazing and great, but I know, I would guess anyways, folks might listen and think, well, I don't speak English as well, so I shouldn't come on the show or something like that. But I'm the one who needs to suffer it, or like figure out how to not suffer, figure out. Makes it sound way worse than I. See, this is why I don't talk about touchy subjects. Yeah. Even I didn't try and pronounce Frederick's last name. So that tells you how weak I am at, at my Swedish, but also just in pronouncing other languages and other dialects and things. But anyways, just to say, reassure you to please come on the show. I'm very curious and interested in podcasting around the world, not just North American stuff that happens to be what, you know, is on my radar, but definitely look forward to chatting with folks from everywhere. I'm trying to think of a country that I haven't. Kazakhstan. There's nobody been on the show from Kazakhstan. So if you're listening, doing a podcast in Kazakhstan and many other places around the world, I would love to hear from you. And obviously we'll figure out, maybe we can just do a Google translated version of the podcast somehow, but that would be kind of, yeah, it would be a long show, but anyways, you can find Good Stuff on the internet, obviously, at goodstuff.fm. Goodstuff_FM is our Twitter account. Show Me Mike has a Twitter account as well, SMYM_FM, where I tweet out show-related news as well as just podcasting stuff of interest. And I'm iChris on Twitter. This has been Show Me Your Mike. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode and Good Stuff. Until next time, have a great day. Bye. We'll be right back. Well, hey, Tim.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good, good. You getting some coffee?
Yes. I'm pressing it now the way that you started to tell me to do it with the eggnog.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Been amazing.
Good. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, do you do that show, The East Something?
Yes, I do The East Wing.
On Good Stuff?
I do it on Good Stuff FM. Yeah, nice. / The East Wing.
Right. And that's the music I hear in the background, right?
I believe so. I don't know how you get your hands on that. I keep that pretty secure, pretty secure.
I have my ways. So cool. Who's on this week?
This week is Garth DB, as he goes on Twitter and in our Slack. His actual name is Garth Braithwaite. He also hosts a show on our network.
Oh, right.
Web Friends.
That's a nice little cross promotional thing. So it's at goodstuff.fm/The East Wing.
Yes.
All
that
right.
Is correct.
Cool. Well, I got to go publish Show Me Mike. I'll see you at lunch.
All right, and have a great day.